This is an archives interview of retiring Martin Luther College President Mark Zarling, recorded on June 4th, 2020, by Interim Archives Coordinator Lois Bode. Good morning, President Zarling.
And good morning, Lois.
Thank you for agreeing to the interview for the Martin Luther College Archives. You're concluding 40 years of service to the Church of at large. That includes St. Matthew's, Danube, Minnesota, 4 years, Bethany, Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, 12 years, Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, Mechlin, Wisconsin, 11 years, and now 13 years at Martin Luther College, right?
Correct.
What was your greatest concern when you began your career at MLC?
I would probably boil it down to a dual concern that was interwoven. The first was the concern for enrollment and to continue to recruit students. Not saying I was a prophet, but I thought it won't be long and we're going to have some vacancies in our synod. But even before looking at vacancies, the reality of a world that needs the gospel. And sometimes our little church body would be somewhat content if there are enough to fill classrooms and vacancies and not have an urgent passion to expand and see the world. And I know that more and more young adults have so many different opportunities to consider vocations, to try to get the message out about the noble task of ministry and the eternal impact of ministry. Related to that, of course, is the whole fiscal stability. And while we're trying to recruit students, college becomes expensive, and my 13 years here, costs kept going up. Can we somehow, under God, encourage students that if they want ministry, money won't be an object? We're not there yet. And how can we have a college in fiscal stability with the resources needed to have enough financial aid to make it an available vocation for anybody with the desire to consider it, that they can explore it by coming to MLC? So those were kind of the interwoven concerns.
So what was it like when you first stepped onto the campus at MLC?
A little bit of fear. Okay. More than a little bit. It's kind of one of those, Lord, you got to help me. And
okay.
Walking into things I really don't know. But I knew there were some great people here, and I knew that a lot of people were doing their responsibilities very, very faithfully, and then I would learn.
So were your concerns justified or just a matter of something new?
I think it was something new, but I think it was justified in that it was so different from my previous ministry experience. And one of the things, you know, I was trained to be a pastor, so you end up thinking in terms as a pastor, and you have to grow to think in terms as an administrator and all that goes with it.
Mm-hmm. So
that's an ongoing learning task.
No,
just ongoing learning.
So what was your favorite or least favorite responsibility for this job?
My favorite is any time I had an opportunity to introduce people to the people at MLC, whether it was students, faculty, or staff. I found great joy in trying to present to people the ministry of MLC and to help them learn the connection to the Great Commission, to help them learn God sends us some wonderful young candidates. God has sent us wonderful people, both faculty and staff. But so many people really don't have an understanding of how integral MLC is to the Great Commission work we do as the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. So my favorite part is, can I introduce you to the college? And that might mean introducing them to a student who, on occasion, I had some come with me when I preached and they would maybe they would play organ. I had two sisters once came and they sang a duet. I had, a young gentleman in pre-seminary do some readings, whatever the case might be. But to try to make MLC a concrete reality in the work of the church, to see how the Spirit is impacting young students. That's by far and away. And I would tell people one of the perks of being the president is I got to meet God's children before we would meet in heaven. I met wonderful Christians all across the country. I never would have met them until heaven. And now when we get to heaven, be able to say, oh, I remember when I met you back during the pilgrimage days.
Excellent. What do you think the students will remember most about you?
That's a good question. As you know, the president doesn't teach on a regular basis, so it's hard to get to know the students. I hope that they maybe remember the times that I would sit down at a table with some students and just chat a little bit in the caf, have lunch with them. I hope they remember the times that I would have opportunity a little bit one-on-one in the hallway. But it's, I don't know, I suppose what would they remember? That I helped them move in as a freshman. And that maybe is the only time I got to meet them. But I hope they knew I was praying for them.
So in that respect, what three words would describe you, whether it's reaction by staff or colleagues or students?
Lois, I struggle to answer this. I really, these are the three words I put down. Quiet. And I guess by that I mean my normal personality is a little bit more reserved. In the position of president, you have to be out there. You have to be the face of the college. But by nature, I think I'm a little bit more quiet than just, you know, an extrovert. You know, I think I'm more on the introvert side. I think I'm a listener. I'd rather listen to people first and find out. And part of that is simply the reality, what I talked about before. I walked into a situation, I'm not trained as an administrator, and I better listen to people who've been doing things here, how they've been doing them, why they've been doing them. That doesn't mean changes can't be made, but I need to learn. And I think that's true for all of us. God gave us two ears and only one tongue, and I think that's there's a reason for that. And the other word I used is processor. And like it or not, by that I mean, as I think through decisions, I enjoy the consensus approach. I enjoy processing other people's ideas. The administrative council, sometimes the meetings maybe got longer than if you had a person come in and say, this is what we're doing. Anybody object? But to try to just listen, what are the other viewpoints? So, right or wrong, those are the words
They're excellent choices. During your time here, what major changes have you seen at MLC, and how would you evaluate those changes?
Man, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, there's been additions in buildings. There's been additions in curriculum. There's been additions in how we teach and how we learn, including various distance learning. But I guess I would go back to the number one change is when God's people brought the offerings forward to build the Chapel of the Christ. And the very first spring, when the hole for the foundation was being built, and watching students, when they saw the size and the scale of that hole, and you could almost see, you know, if you look at it, students kind of stopping and go, wow. And hopefully, subconsciously, they began to think, people do care about this college. They understand the Great Commission. And as the chapel went up and they saw the beauty of it and the scale of it, there was no doubt in their mind, Jesus is what's most important here, and our connection to Jesus through the Word. And to see students then use the chapel to have, you know, to go in the entryway and sit on the furniture and just talk and hang out, or informal Bible studies. The Chapel of the Christ had a profound impact on this school as far as school culture or hidden curriculum. Anybody that comes here sees that first because of the size. Anybody that goes to worship there, they leave not just impacted by the building, but the art in the building that points them to Christ, and the message in the building, which is, of course, the gospel. And to me, that's probably been, I think, the most profound blessing from God that had a lasting impact. It impacts students that come for a visit. Even if they don't come to school here, they remember that. And hopefully that clearly is a visible sermon on the mission and the vision and mission of this college.
Sounds like a favorite memory in a way. Are there some other smaller details that you remember?
Boy, I'll never forget. On campus, we had kind of a soft opening just for the campus family. And we started that worship service in the auditorium. For decades, they had chapel in the auditorium. And we closed that little short introductory worship with a prayer of thanks for the years being able to hear the gospel there. And then it was a silent processional of the students and the faculty and staff that were in attendance, walked out the door, walked to the center sidewalk, turned left and walked the sidewalk to the doors of the chapel. Beautiful sunny day, absolutely quiet. And we're talking probably at that time, must have been 800-900 people, students, faculty, staff, and others, and you heard the birds. And you walk in silence, and then to walk into the chapel, pretty unforgettable.
I understand in our world of Lutheranism, we don't usually shout out our accomplishments. However, I'm sure that you have some, and I'd like to know about one or two of your proudest professional accomplishments.
Oh, Lois, that's a tough one. What I put down, and I consider it to be by God's grace an accomplishment, but I put down getting to know and working with the team that he brought to this campus. He brought the faculty through a divine call. It was the Lord's choice. The Lord also had his hand in bringing staff people and the hiring process and so forth, and to be able to try to encourage, and I'll say the team, those called to teach, to preach, and to minister to the students, but those who willingly work so hard, hired to be, if you will, the support, the undergirding of the ministry to make sure things were in place that we could carry out the mission and to try to help each other see each other in those complementary roles. I guess, and then the other thing as far as, I don't necessarily proud, but I had two symposium papers about, I suppose, 8 years apart maybe, at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, and it was a distinct blessing to be able to present the papers, but I'll say it was also probably a blessing not that I gave to others, but that God gave to me, just the working and getting it ready and having that opportunity to try to, and the one was to try to talk about Christian education. And I thoroughly enjoyed trying to provide a little bit of important background as far as why we have schools. It's not private education, it's Great Commission education connected. And the other one had to do with the priesthood of all believers, which certainly ties into training here and to help future called workers understand that doesn't mean you're a notch above the people you serve.
So sort of in connection with that then, what in your time of ministry makes you want to recommend ministry to others?
God will allow you, if you're faithful in using the word, to see trophies of grace. Not always, because it's the spirit and the heart, and only God knows the heart as well as the individual. But his people do also let their light shine, and others see their good deeds, and you see visible sermons by God's people. You see the impact of the word you shared, a hospital bed and someone about to go to glory, and the gospel brings a peace, or the gospel brings the strength for the family around the bed to sing, I know that my Redeemer lives. And even through tears, to have smiles on their face because they know where their loved one's going. to have an impact in which people troubled are calmed, and sin is still around, and they're a sinner, and they work with sinners and live with sinners, but you see them starting to look to Christ, and what's coming out of their mouths, not just complaints and whining, but the promises of Jesus. I got to hang on to these. The Lord will allow you to see trophies of grace and to begin to understand the profound reality. You are an instrument of the Spirit through which He can, by the power of the gospel, have an eternal impact on a soul. And nothing else compares.
I really like that phrase, trophies of grace. It's new to me. I will remember that. Is there anything else we have not talked about that you would like to share?
Just that as I got to know MLC, its history began to kind of seep in. And I grew up, my dad was actually an alum of Dr. Martin Luther High School. I didn't really know that until I suppose I was in college. But he grew up in Minnesota. His boyhood and high school years were here. And then my brother served here in ministry for 8 years. I've been here for 13. And I started looking at my dad's siblings. And an aunt graduated from high school and from the two-year teaching program here. Several other Zarlings that are related. And it was one of those things that I never really realized that as a family, we had some roots in this campus. And I had been born in Wisconsin, but grew up in Michigan. I was in pastor track through Northwestern College. I just didn't get to Dr. Martin Luther College very often. But to leave with a little bit more, not just my ministry connections and the memories, but to have spent time in a place where some generations of Zarlings have been. Mm-hmm. It was kind of an enlightening, growing instruction on me, I guess.
What do you and your wife, Colette, plan to do in retirement?
First and foremost, we're going to try to take some time and to see our kids and our grandkids. We have grandkids out on the West Coast. We have some on the East Coast. We have some in Wisconsin. But we really do want to spend some time getting a home set up, but also together and together visiting the blessings of family that God has given us.
Sounds like a wonderful thing to me.
Looking forward to it.
Mark, we appreciate very much that you've interviewed with us today. And I know the archives at MLC appreciates it, and I assure you, those who hear or read this interview years from now will also appreciate what you've shared with us today. We sincerely wish you God's blessings and Colette's blessings in your retirement. Thank you.
And thank you for the joy of getting to know you and you taking the time to set up the interview. Blessings to you and your hubby and your family.
Thank you.